If you have a Bible, if you can find it, the first, no, I'm gonna show, Genesis, if you know where that is, yeah. Turn Genesis. It's a chapter, or the first book in the Bible. So you'll, if you just open your Bible, you'll see it there. We'll be there in a few minutes, but just kind of prepare you. And then also, if you really want to get ahead, you can turn to John, is it 15 or 14? I should know this because I'm preaching on it. John 15. That'll be later toward the end, but anyway. Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this morning and for a time of communion and just kind of slowing down in worship. And in this, as we sung, just not to rush through it. And or at least for me, and I hope for many of us, just I know for me it was just a time to stop and to focus my heart on you and to listen to you as I heard you speak through the songs that were sung and even some of the words of Scripture and the prayers that were prayed, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us. And Lord, now as we come to this whole kind of new idea, or not new idea, but new series on hearing you, would you open our hearts, Lord, to be able to hear you in our lives? And as we learn what that looks like for each one of us, would you just speak to us? In Christ's name, amen. Well, as many of you know, I was on a sabbatical this summer for a few months, and it was a time to kind of rest and to refresh, renew after 10 years of ministry here at North Marine Fellowship. And it was interesting, as I prepared to go, one thing I heard over and over from you guys and from other people is, I sure hope you hear from God. I'm looking forward to what God is going to speak to you, Pastor Jim. And I heard that over and over. Now, that's not at all intimidating, right? You ever thought about that? You know, it's not at all daunting. Okay, God, okay, I want God to speak to you, Pastor Jim. What does that mean when people say that? You know, I've been a Christian for 30 years, basically, and in some kind of ministry for over 25 years. But it's still a heavy thing when they say, I sure hope God speaks to you. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to people? Does it mean that God's going to come to me like he did Moses in a burning bush, and he's going to speak to me, or all of a sudden I'm going to hear this booming voice and God is audibly going to speak to me? Is God speaking to us and us hearing the same for everyone? We're going to look at that in the weeks to come. You know, I did want to hear from God this summer. That was one of my biggest prayers. As I prepared to go on the sabbatical, one of the first things I did, as I heard this over and over, it kind of was a resounding voice in my head. You know, hear God. What does that mean? I said, you know what I need to do? I need to kind of think about this. And so I read some books on hearing God. And I just said, you know, I need somebody to bounce some of these things off, make sure it's not just me. And so I met with one of my old professors from seminary. It was great to renew with him. We met a number of times, like 5 or 6 times this summer. And then I kind of dove into what it means to hear God. You know, it's interesting that many Christians expect pastors or Christian leaders to hear from God, right? You're called. God's going to speak to you. But you know, it's something interesting. One seasoned pastor wrote this, quote, he said, we pastors also find a pervasive and often painful uncertainty about hearing God's voice and how it actually works today and what its place is in the church and in the Christian's life. He says, it's not always easy to hear God's voice. But here's something I want you to know. It is possible. And it is something that God expects and wants. You know, when you ask people what it means to hear God, you're going to hear a variety of answers. If we did a little survey here and you wrote down, what does it mean to hear God? We would have a variety of answers. You know what? That's not a bad thing. Because as we're going to see, God speaks in a variety of ways. It's interesting as we speak, talk about God, you know, one of the things that I want you to know right up front is that God does not just speak to pastors or to spiritual leaders or to elders. He speaks to anyone who is willing to listen. And so as you come to this series, I hope that you have open hearts and mind to know that God wants you to hear him as well. Unfortunately, there is some abuse out there from, maybe you see it on TV or whatever. Maybe you've been at a place where, you know, a pastor or a leader or a dictator of a church would say, God has spoken to me and I know everything that you need to do. And I don't care what he said to you, But this is God's word. That's bogus. I'm just telling you, God speaks to each one of us. Now, he can speak to a leader about certain things about the church, absolutely. But God speaks to each one of us. We'll talk kind of about the abuse sometimes that happens in the church. We'll talk about that in weeks to come. But the big question you need to answer or just kind of ask is, can you hear God? And the answer is yes, absolutely. God speaks so that we can hear him. It is possible to hear God. And that's what this series is all about. So if many of you say, well, I've never heard God. Well, maybe you haven't, or maybe you have. Because maybe you say, well, I've never heard God. I've never heard God audibly speak to me. Well, you know what? Neither have I. I've never heard God audibly speak to me. Not that he can't. Not that he hasn't. And maybe he will to one of you or to me. But we can still hear God even though we don't hear an audible voice. The Bible proclaims over and over that we can hear from God. Let me just give you just three passages. We'll be looking at many more in the weeks to come. But Isaiah 58:9 says, then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. Job shares in Job 42:4-5. You said, listen now and I will speak. This is Job saying to God. You said, listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me. Job says, my ears had heard of you. And he says, even now my eyes have seen you. Hebrews 3:15 says, as has just been said today, quoting a passage from the Old Testament, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in rebellion. God speaks and he expects that we can hear him. So how can we hear from God, right? Well, like anything else, like reading, like riding a bike, like learning arithmetic, you learn through experience. You learn through experience. One of the most basic and fundamental ways that we hear from God is hearing from his instruction and his direction through his word. Through his word. The clearest passage that talks about this is in 2 Timothy 3:16. There's many, but listen to this one. It says, all scripture, in other words, all of the Bible is God-breathed. Or some translations have God-spoken and is useful. What does God's word say for us? It is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. In other words, how to live right before God. In other words, God has given us his word so that as we read, we might read and hear God's voice to us. Hear his instruction, hear his direction for much of our life. The Bible itself is God's speaking preserved in written form. Let me say that again. It's an important statement. The Bible itself is God's speaking to us preserved in written form. The primary manner of communication from God to humankind is the Bible. God's speaking. He used it to speak to the Israelites. Remember, Moses went up to the mountain, and what did God say to do as he spoke to him? He said, write this down. And that's where we have the first five books of the Bible. And then we see prophets that wrote things down that God said. And then we see the New Testament. The early church had letters that were written by the apostles. And God's word saying, as we sit here, by God's breath, by his word, they were given to us. And now he speaks to us. Many of you know this. You know, we could have testimony after testimony of how God's word, you heard it, and you sense God speak to you in a specific way. This is why it's one of the most important things that we do here at church, is we speak and we hear about God and about his teaching. It's about teaching and hearing God's word. You know what? This can't be, honestly, it can't be stressed enough. That's why we talk about it often, the importance of being in the Bible, of reading it for yourself. It is through his word that people hear from God. What do they hear? They hear how much he loves us. They hear of how we've been separated from him because of our rebellion, our sin. We hear of how we can be reconciled with God, and on and on. it goes, it talks about really the ABCs of our faith. Now, I wouldn't say that this is just, in essence, the ABCs, but it is in many ways. It is the foundation of what we are to know, to believe, and to live for God. So if you want to hear from God, first and foremost, you need to be in the Word. You need to listen to God's Word to us. But you know what? That's not all there is. Many of you know that. You, if you've been in the church, you've been a Christian for a while, you kind of know that and heard that. But is there more to hearing God than just that? Absolutely. But you can't go beyond this. You can't go and hear God in other ways until you know about this first. Doesn't mean you have to know the Bible and you don't have to read through it, but you need to know the truths of who God is. He's shown us so that, as we'll talk about later, when he speaks to you through his Spirit, to your spirit, you will know if it's right or wrong, if it's right or wrong, if it's a good message or if it's maybe just your message that you're hearing. That's for later on. But hearing God goes beyond just the Bible. But you can't skip or ignore God's Word. But his word is one dimension, a very important dimension of an interactive relationship with God. The Bible is not just about doctrine, okay? It's not just about learning about who God is, but rather, ultimately, it brings us to something that is ultimately God's goal and desire for us, and that is that you have a relationship with God. God doesn't just want us to know about him. There are so many people who have read the Bible. You can go to college after college, university, people who don't even believe in God who know the Bible better than you do. They know about the character of God. God says he doesn't want us just to know these things, to know about God, to know his commands, his instructions. It's more than just even a guidance of how to live. Well, here's a good book of how we're supposed to live as Christians. It is about a relationship with the living God. We were created for relationship with God. Dallas Willard, a great man of God, wrote many good books, a pastor, and he wrote this in his book, Hearing God. He said, "You are an unceasing spiritual being created for an intimate, transforming friendship with the creative community that is the Trinity." We were created by God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to have a relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it's more than just guidance, okay? It's interesting, the Westminster Confession, a great doctrinal piece, the very first question they ask in there, what is the goal or chief end of man? And it says this, the goal of mankind is to enjoy God or to glorify God and enjoy him forever. To enjoy God forever. Is that your mindset of God? Is that how your religion is? Your relationship? Is it a relationship? Is it about enjoying God? Or is it just about knowing about him? Is it possible to know and enjoy God in this life and in forever? Absolutely. And it happens through a relationship. You see, we are to have a relationship, which is more than what many people have. Many people have what I call an ATM God. Think about it. You know, ATMs, what do? You stick your card in there and you want something back, right? And so we kind of have this mindset, many of us. Well, okay, what am I sticking in the machine? Well, for me, it's pray. God, I need this. God, help me with this. Meet this need. Meet this want. Give me this advice. Give me some wisdom. And God is simply an ATM for us to receive what we want. Now, God many times does give us many of those things, but that's not why he created us to be an ATM for him, for ourselves. We were created for an intimate friendship with God. God has made you not simply to believe in him. He's not made you simply to come to church. Or even to serve him at church or around your community. God has made you for a relationship. And those other things are certainly part of it. But that's not the ultimate goal. It is to enjoy a relationship with him. We talk about relationship with God here a lot. If you come around here very often, you hear about, we talk about this idea of relationship with God. And yet, I may talk about it, you may hear about it lots, but that doesn't mean that you necessarily have it. Just because you hear it or know it in your head doesn't mean that you're experiencing it. But you can. Or maybe you have a relationship, but not to the degree that God wants it with you. You see, in order for you to hear God, it's like any other relationship. There must be a conversation, right? There must be a conversation, an ongoing conversation with God, of speaking to him, but then also of being spoken to, of allowing God to speak to you. Why do I say this? I mean, is this realistic? Is this kind of just pie in the sky? Well, that's for, you know, that's for people, monks and pastors that go off and spend hours and hours alone. No, it's just, this is for everyday people. Let me show you. Look at Genesis chapter 3. We're going to kind of take a real quick overview of part of the what we call the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. But let's start at the very beginning. Genesis chapter 3, actually, verses 8 through 10. Let's start with the beginning. It says, "Then the man, Adam, and his wife Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid.'" We see here the first couple, Adam and Eve. You know, most of us are familiar with this passage, and we usually refer to it and talk about it when we're talking about the fall, when we're talking about sin. But if you look a little bit deeper, if you look at it from a different perspective, we see here a perspective of God's relationship with mankind, starting with Adam and Eve, his relationship with his created people. What was God doing in the garden? What was God doing? What does it say there? Walking. Very important word we're going to see this morning. God was walking in the garden. Don't get stuck on the idea of, oh, I thought God was spirit. He doesn't have a body. Well, sometimes in the Old Testament, he actually took on in bodily form to relate to people. I don't know if this is one of those times or not, but it says God's walking, so don't get stuck on that. But what was he doing? He was walking. He was enjoying his creation. He was coming to visit, in a sense. Not in a sense. He was coming to visit with them, coming to talk with them, coming to relate with them. And I don't believe that this was the first time he did it either. Earlier in chapter 2, we see God interacting with Adam and telling him, hey, here's the job I have for you. I want you to take care of this creation. You know, I want you to take care of the land. You, by the way, here's something fun. Go and name the animals, you know, and so on. This wasn't the first time, I don't believe, where God was walking in the garden. Why did I say that? Well, it says that Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord coming to them. How would they know it was the Lord if it was the first time? It's interesting, this word sound is something I didn't know. Can also be translated, and it is translated other places, as voice. Voice. Were they listening to God? Were they hearing God coming? Well, we certainly know some of the words that God said. What's the words we have recorded here? Where are you? Where are you? It wasn't like God didn't know where they were, right? I mean, we all know God knows everything. Just like he asked us, many people today, where are you? All of this to show, you know, that he didn't create us simply to create people and say, well, you're on your own now. Many people believe this. They kind of believe in a God, but God created us and you know what? We're on our own. And I know God's up there, but as long as he doesn't mess with me, I don't mess with him. We're all good. No. God had an ongoing conversation with those that he created. It was a relationship. But Adam and Eve aren't the only ones. Look over. We're just going to take a little walk there. Genesis chapter 4. Maybe turn your Bibles one page for me, or maybe it's on the same page. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Genesis 4. It says, "Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. She said, 'With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man.' Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time..." I think that's a key little part here. "In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked on favor of Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. And so Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Again, we often look at this passage and we look at it from the sin of Cain, right? But again, let's look at it from the idea of relationship. We see here God having conversation with Cain and Abel. And I don't think that this was the first conversation that they were having. You know, it's interesting. It says, of the course of time. I don't think this was the first time that Cain and Abel brought an offering. It was the first time that Cain brought an offering that wasn't acceptable. And we're not going to get into that because that's not what this message is about. But we see here that God, with his creation, with his those he created, Cain and Abel, had a relationship with them, a conversation. Even this worship, we see the kind of the first act of worship, of bringing an offering. This conversation that's going on between them. Turn over another chapter, chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. Look what it says there. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. We see Enoch here. Maybe you've never heard that guy's name, but an interesting character. Interesting person. It says he walked with God twice. Now, Enoch was very unique in that he was one of only two people that I can remember that never died. Elijah being the other that was taken up a chariot of fire. Remember that story maybe? It says that he just was no more. Interesting. But the important piece here is that it says he was walking with God. We see this word walking and it relates to relationship. Think about walking with a friend, walking with your spouse. Why do our wives always want us to go on walks? I don't get it. At least mine does. I don't know. It's not just to look at the pretty trees and stuff. It's to converse, to relate, to catch up on things, right? We see that here as well. This is a pattern of those who had a close relationship with God. It says of Noah in Genesis 6:9, and he walked with God. Abraham in Genesis 17:1, God said, I am the Lord Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Look what it says about Moses. Turn over another book to Exodus. And like I said, we're going to go through the Pentateuch here. We'll fly by. Exodus 33:9-11. Look what it says. Exodus 33:9-11. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud, which represented God's presence, if you didn't know that, says the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance of his tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Interesting. It says Moses spoke with God face to face. Now, I don't believe it literally means that he saw God's face at that time, or when we often talk about the face of God, the glory of God. Matter of fact, we know it doesn't, because later on in that exact same chapter, God says, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. In other words, see the essence of who God is and his glory. So what does that mean? Well, it's an idiom, face to face. You know what idioms are? They're kind of descriptions of, you know, ways that we talk. And it also could, the literal translation is mouth to mouth. That doesn't sound so good though. You know. But in other words, voice to voice, conversation to conversation. That's what it meant, face to face. He was having conversation with God. An intimate conversation as one has with a friend. But you know, I know what's going in your mind right now. I can read your mind. Now, you're thinking, yeah, that's all those spiritual people. Those are all those Bible heroes. That's not for the regular person, is it? Well, turn over to Deuteronomy, the end of the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. At the end of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, And here they are, the God's people. He's gathered a people, made a people of his own, literally over a million people now that we call Israelites. They're getting ready, not Israelites yet, but they're getting ready to go into the promised land. And what does God say to them? Verse 15 and 16. God says, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God." Sounds familiar. To, what does it say? Walk, relationship in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. God is saying, each one of you can walk with me. To love me. He says right before that, love the Lord your God. Again, relationship. God's people, you and me, can walk, can have conversation, can relate with God. We see this same truth. We don't have time to go into it, but maybe do a little research of your own. Look for the word walk in the New Testament. See what some of the passages say about that. God created us for a relationship. Not too long ago, there was a survey. Barnum does these, Gallup poll, and Barnum does these polls. And 78% of people say that they pray every week. 78% of Americans say they pray at least once a week. 53% say they pray daily. Interesting. Here's an interesting statistic along with that. 13%, at least a while ago, it was 13% of people claim to be atheists in the United States. Out of that 13% of atheists, 20% of them say they pray daily. Don't you find that ironic? Who are they praying to? But you know, it's part of how God created us. What do we do when things go bad? What's one of the first things we do? We cry out to God, either in anger or for help. It's because he created us for relationship. You know, comedian Lily Tomlin, some of you may remember her, she once asked this question. She said, "Why is it that when we speak to God, we are said to be praying, but when God speaks to us, we're said to be schizophrenic?" I mean, go and tell somebody at work, "God spoke to me." Might get a little raised eyebrow. I'm wondering, okay, what exactly did he say? But he does. God does speak and we can hear. I truly believe that because I've also experienced that. Many of you have as well. And I'm going to share some of those experiences in the weeks to come. But there's many different ways. And obviously, we're not going to get to them today because there's just too much. That's why we have 6 weeks kind of to look at this, of how God speaks, how we hear. But something we need to understand as we think about God speaking and us hearing is that God is always available. But he gives us the option to turn away. Sometimes we don't want to hear what somebody has to say, right? It's kind of like great Aunt Lucy, who was losing her hearing, a specialist, had come up and said, "You know, I got a procedure that can help you to hear better." Well, Aunt Lucy immediately vetoed the idea and said, "I'm 94 years old. I've heard enough." Sometimes we get that with God. "I've heard enough. I don't want to hear any more what you have to say." And we see this with people in the Bible, don't we? As well as people today. Let's just go back from it to Adam and Cain. It says Adam hid from God, didn't he? It's interesting that God gave Adam and Eve some distance. You notice that? He said, "Where are you?" It's a simple and yet profound phrase that God, I believe, says to us today. Where are you? God wants an intimate relationship with us. And he says, "Where are you? I'm right here. I'm walking just like I've always in the same area." He wants us to converse with him and to hear from him. What about Cain? We see this with Cain. Listen to Genesis 4, 6, and 7. "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it.'" If you know the story, Cain ended up killing his brother not too long after that. God could have stopped Cain from killing Abel, couldn't he? Absolutely. But he didn't. Because you know what? God gives us the choice to love or to hate, to receive or to reject him. We can't love God unless we have that freedom. No one, you can't force anybody to love you, right? It's the same with God. God is in our midst, even though we don't necessarily always want him or maybe hear him. One person I read this week said, only our communion with God provides the appropriate context for communication between us and him. I'm not talking about this communion table, okay, at the Lord's table, but rather the union or communion that we have with God in relationship by listening and speaking to him. The relationship he created us for. You know, so many people, even those who are religious, even those who go to church regularly, miss this. And you see, it's not just any kind of relationship. It's not like your relationship you have with your coworker or with somebody in the community. It's to be beyond that. We are created for a friendship with God. A friendship with God. You know, for many people, for some people, this is kind of strange and maybe even seems wrong. Because as we are brought up, you are to fear the Lord. You need to respect the Lord. You are to honor God as your king. And you know what? Those are absolutely true. But so is another truth. The truth from God's word is that we are also not only to respect and honor and fear God, but we are also to have an intimate friendship with him. Why do I say this? Because God himself said this to us. Abraham, the father of our faith, was called a friend of God. Look at James 2:23. It says this, and scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. We read it earlier about Moses in Exodus 33:11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his, what? Friend. The Bible, when it talks about our relationship with God, always talks about intimacy in the relationship. It's crazy. We see lots of different pictures of how God says we are to relate with him, like a father and a child. That's intimate. As a lover and her beloved in the Song of Solomon. As a bride with her bridegroom. You can't get more intimate than that. And yet there's something here, one last passage that is so important that Jesus says to us. It's about the friendship he desires to have for us. So maybe you're already there because I said put your hand there in John 15. Turn over John 15. John 15, 14 and 15. This may be familiar to some of you, but sometimes we forget it. Look at verse 15 and 16. Or 14 and 15, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus calls us friends. See, our relationship with God is not simply a transaction. Many times we sometimes portray it that if you just receive Jesus, if you just ask him for his forgiveness, believe that he died on the cross. That's what God expects. And if you do that, then you're good to go, and that's all God wants. It's much more than that. The reason he died was to bring us back to relationship with us, not just to forgive our sins. The reason he forgave our sins is to bring us back into relationship with him. Not just, I believe Jesus died and I prayed a prayer, but a life that desires to seek to know and to walk with Jesus. And we can't do that perfectly. I don't. You won't. But as we shared earlier, a life where we are hearing God's direction and instruction through his word. How do we hear God first and foremost? Through his word. But also by an ongoing conversation with him, walking with him. This summer, I was able to kind of experience this hearing God in a new way. I'll share of other ways in the past, but you know, I heard God a number of times, I believe this summer. And one of the things that the Lord spoke clearly to me through his word first, through a godly mentors, and then also through some books, was my view and kind of my attitude toward my ministry. Or you might say my success as a pastor or as a church. And basically, God showed me that I was more worried about what others thought of me or thought of the church than what God thought of it. And I wrote in my journal, I journaled this summer a lot, these words on May 25th. This is what I believe God was saying to me. I wrote this. God is reminding me that neither my success nor my spiritual growth is measured by my preaching, my skill in leading, or even the size or influence of my church, but only on my growth, only on the growth of my love. My love for God and for his people. I sense God saying, if you want to be really successful, if you want to be the person that I've called you to be, you must love me and love others unconditionally. And I was having a hard time with a few people of loving them unconditionally this summer, just be honest. God said, you know what? You need to forgive and you need to love. That's something that God spoke to me this summer. Brother Lawrence wrote in his book, Practicing the Presence of God, a great little book, pretty challenging. It's a great little book, old one, but I encourage you to read it. It says, there's not in the world a kind of life more sweet and delightful than that of a continual conversation with God. Those only can comprehend it who practice and experience it. I want you to practice and to experience hearing God. Experience the friendship that God desires with you. And many of you are. But I want you to deepen that, the ability to hear God. Because each one of us, we're created for an intimate friendship with God. And it doesn't happen overnight, just like with any friendship. It deepens only as you spend more time and get to know that person better. But I pray, my desire is that each one of you learns more of what it means to hear God. That you'll stick with us in this series. That if you can't make it on the Sundays, go on our website and listen to the message afterwards. Seek God, even this week, what it means to have that friendship with him. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Because you've given us your word first and foremost to show us a lot, so much of who you are, of what you want of us, of how you want us to live. But Lord, that's just the foundation. You want it to be an ongoing conversation every day of our lives as we listen to your, as we'll see next week, your still small voice that speaks to our hearts. Lord, I pray for each one here that they would be able to know this intimate friendship that I'm talking about and to be able to grow in it day by day. As only you can, Lord, you speak to them. And may they hear your voice in Christ's name. Amen.